Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, the Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Always like to introduce myself first, and then there's Jay Posner, and he's my boss, sports editor. He's the guy who does all the work. Jay, how are you today?
I am doing well, Kevin. How about yourself? What a big day this is. It's draft day. Don't you remember what this was like when you covered football? It was like the end of the world when it was draft day. Like the entire world stopped for draft day. And are you getting the sense that maybe it's not quite the same in baseball?
I am getting that sense. And one of the reasons would be, first of all, Twitter's not flooded just talking about it and asking who the Padres are going to pick. But the other is that, I'm going to actually cover a game tonight. we'll leave this to the expert, Jeff Sanders. I got enough trouble figuring out, which one of these 18-year-olds at Fort Wayne killing it for the Tin Caps is going to be up. I'm not sure that I can really wrap my arms around these high school pitcher that they're going to take tonight.
It is definitely a different world. And I think the other part of it is that, we don't see these people for so long. And maybe that's something where the Padres, change that. I guess with Lucchesi and Eric Lauer, we've seen a couple guys from 2016, but that usually doesn't happen. I mean, unless they draft a guy like Alec Bohm tonight from Wichita State, who probably could be up here by the end of next year, maybe. Other than that, if they take one of these high school arms, we're not going to see these guys for, 4 or 5 years probably. So it does make it, I think, difficult for fans to get into it as much as they do during football, where it's like, guy gets picked and a week later he's at minicamp and they're already talking about him, being a starter and what kind of impact is he going to have immediately.
Oh, it's completely different. And that was kind of my allusion there. I was alluding to, look, it's exciting. And I do think the Padres do a good job. And certainly Padres fans, on social media are really, really pay attention to Fort Wayne, Lake Elsinore, San Antonio. That's the thing. It's like, well, this kid's 18. He's got a, 798 OPS at Fort Wayne. Well, what does that even mean, for goodness sake? I mean, he's got at least two more stops before he gets to the majors, and that's if he's they think he's going to be an all-star. So nonetheless, and we have some sound from a little media gaggle that AJ Preller did yesterday, where he it's AJ Preller talking about the importance of the draft, and that is obviously, as we talked about for the Phil Hughes trade, this team is all about stocking and restocking.
I think this is all part of the continued plan of just continuing to add to the foundation, continue to add to the system. Every single year we talk about it all the time. You've got to hit on the draft every year. If you have a really good draft, you look up 3 or 4 years and there's always an impact. And the same thing if you don't have quite as good a draft. So I think, we view it, the more times you pick, the more chances you have to impact the system. And all part of what we're looking at, big picture of continuing to talent year in, year out. I hope it's the last time we're picking this high. I think we're always going to look at value with draft picks, whether obviously we get the competitive balance pick, that MLB gives out to different teams for market size, etc. But every year I think we're always going to put a premium on adding picks and having more selections. So hopefully this is the last year we're picking in the top 10. We'll see what happens. That's like a year in, year out thing we keep trying. Again, you look at some of the better drafts historically, and it's usually the teams that have, that have multiple picks. You look at other sports, whether it was, the Cowboys when Jimmy Johnson was building his clubs. You look at the Patriots, the way they work in the draft. You look at the Celtics, the way they've worked in the draft in the past few years. When you have more selections and more picks, you get a chance to have more impact, more quality, more depth. And so we've it wasn't just a part of losing the Hosmer pick. It's, something we try to do year in, year out.
All right, Jay. So we started out by saying, all right, draft, but it's so far off. But you understand, or I think a lot of fans have come to understand, that really, this is AJ Preller's time, and it better be.
Right. I mean, that obviously this is the time where they need to stockpile players, and as you mentioned, the Phil Hughes pick gives them one more pick. It gives them more money for the bonus pool, and we could talk all day about underslot and overslot, but I don't think we need to get into that too much. I mean, the bottom line is that most of the experts out there think that the Padres are going to take a high school pitcher. And I think, Matthew Liberatore, the guy from Arizona, seems to be the guy that most people think is the best pitcher. But are the Padres going to work out a deal to sign someone else that might be a little cheaper I've seen this name Ryan Weathers from Tennessee as a guy that would again allow them to spend more money on some players down the road. And that's why it's tough to tell, like when they announce this pick at 4:30 or whatever time it's going to be today, I don't think we can all just rush in and say, oh, what a great pick, what a terrible pick, because I think there is a strategy involved with the slot money and how teams have to play it. And, you know, Jeff did a good job today, especially of breaking that down in terms of guys that were signed for under slot, over slot, those type of things. So not that we know anything about most of these guys anyway, but I do think it'll be interesting to see what the read is out of this on what they did with the money that's allowed for that they're allowed to spend.
And I think that one thing that the Phil Hughes trade, where they picked up the 74th pick and the extra $812,000, kind of just reiterated, is that it's all about depth. I mean, I was always fascinated by what Bill Belichick did in the NFL, and we just talked about the different animal that is. That's where you expect a guy to be a contributor on your team right away when you draft him. But, you know, Bill Belichick really wasn't that great at drafting, except for he would make like 10 picks every year. So if four of them worked out, well, that was more than most teams because other teams had six picks. Well, right now, if you look at the Padres system, and do not ask me to name them all, but they've got like six guys on just on the left side of the infield where you go, huh, if things went right with these guys, they're going to be in the majors. How are the Padres possibly going to fit them? They're not all going to make it. The Padres will be lucky if two of them do. And that is what AJ Preller is all about.
Right. And I think you could do the same. It's funny. I thought you were going to talk about pitching because yes, you could say the same thing about yes, pitchers. I mean, with some of these international guys they've signed, plus a few of the guys they've drafted in recent years. And, you know, you could say, wow, what are they going to do? Have to go to an 8-man rotation? Well, all these guys aren't going to make it. And the idea is that, you know, you keep drafting and trading for prospects and high level prospects and high upside prospects. And eventually the hope is that you hit with a few of them and you wind up with, let's go to a segue here, a team like the Atlanta Braves this year.
That was perfect.
How was that?
It was excellent, because I was going to keep talking about the minor league system and wondering when do we talk about the team, and so, this team has just went 5-2, and
we talked about 5-2 last week. I actually went back to make sure that's what we had said, and I think I said at that point last week, let's see if this is the kind of week that the Padres can put together and say, what, 5 out of 7 wins. And of course, then they go out and they get blown out in the first game of the week, but they win 5 out of 6, and they did go 5-2. But I think more importantly, what we talked about that day was individuals.
Yes.
And individuals who were going to be on the spot. And you know, I joke that if they went 5-2 during the week, obviously there would be some good individual performances that allowed them to do that. And that's what happened. One of the guys you mentioned, Kevin, was Hunter Renfroe. And he came up, he was on the spot. You know, they didn't get to bring him up exactly when they wanted to. He winds up going 7-for-14. With 7 RBIs, including the huge slam yesterday against former Padre for 2 minutes, Luis Castillo. And that was, you know, ended up carrying them to a victory. But this was a good week. It's a week, but this was a good week for Hunter Renfroe.
And it was absolutely indicative of everything that we've talked about. And it's nice that it was actually for them and for me, actually, to have a change of pace, that it was actually a positive, you know, and you were wondering, Hunter Renfroe, they're wondering, the Padres are wondering, heck, Hunter Renfroe's wondering. And so all he did with this week was show that he gets another week. You know, I'm not saying right, he's going to be sent down, right, but say he gets another week. He gets another week after that. This is an audition, and Hunter Renfroe, you know, nailed what, you know, that week right there. Eric Lauer bounced back. Now we get to see, what does he do in his next start? So I thought that it was a fascinating week. And again, though, now here come the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves, who's sort of rebuild, at least here we are in the first week of June, and they're leading the NL East, second best record in the National League. Their rebuild, much like the Phillies, I guess, is going a little quicker than they expected. And they got some dang. They got some people in the heart of their order. Any of the pitchers, arguably, certainly the two pitchers going the next two nights, tonight after Tehran, any of these Braves pitchers the Padres face would be the Padres ace, arguably.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Fulton Evich has an ERA around 2.2. Sean Newcomb, who they got in the trade for Andrelton Simmons, with the Angels, I think is around 2.7, maybe something like that. I mean, those guys have been really, really good. You know, Teheran is not bad. They've got Brandon McCarthy in the rotation at the back end of it. They've got some good relievers. I mean, they've really played well. Freddie Freeman's one of the best players in baseball. He comes in with a 16-game hitting streak, which is the longest in the National League this season. They've got Nick Markakis. One of these kids they talked about, or that has been talked about, Ozzie Albies, has 14 home runs. Unfortunately, we don't get to see Acuna, one of the other top kids that they have who is hurt. But I'm looking forward to going out there and getting a look at the Braves and kind of see what they have. And is this the kind of team that can hold up? You know, again, they're what, a third of the way through the season, second best record in the league. No guarantee that they don't finish, 81-81 or whatever it might be. But maybe this is a team that can win 90 games and arrive just a little bit earlier than people thought.
And I'll say this. I think it was 3 of 4, not 2 of 3. But I think they just took 3 of 4 from the Nationals. And so that was after, what was it, about 2 weeks ago where they took over the NL East? And maybe it was a little longer than that. And there have been times that they could have, I don't want to say crumble. It would be too early if they weren't doing well. Right. But nonetheless, they really looked like a good team, the Braves do.
No, that's true. Teheran, I mean, I think we mentioned in the paper this morning, he's a two-time all-star, but that's one of those things where I think he was an all-star the way that the Padres yes. have all-stars sometimes where, well, we got to take somebody. Yeah, this guy's been okay. His arm's still attached, so we'll take him. But he's got good stuff. And look, the Padres are still not a good offensive team. So no matter what we saw this past week or the bottom line is it's still not a good offensive team. You know, decent pitchers, I mean, and even a guy like Trevor Mauly the other night, who I'm not even sure how good he is, but he shut them down along with Lorenzo and the reliever the other night. And so we'll see what the Padres can do. One thing I did wanted to bring up, Kevin, you talked about going back to the Padres now, and it was a good week for Renfroe. It was a good week for Reyes. He had 3 home runs early in the week, and mm-hmm. had a couple hits. I think it was it yesterday? A couple singles going
the
other
way. Going the other way. Yes, yesterday. Up the middle and the other way. And it might have been to right and to left the night before. But yes, regardless of however many times he did that, it's like he's not chasing as much. That's clear to anybody. He is, he's talked openly about how much he's learning, and not just learning, but like digesting and then putting it into practice. And that he did it so quick. I mean, that's super impressive. Now, look, I tremble every time the ball's hit to him in right field. It's bad. But he can hit like that. And then if he can hit 2 homers a week, I don't know exactly, because honestly, he's awful in right field. He works really hard at it. He just happens to be like 6'5", what, 270? He's a gigantic human who would be playing tight end if he'd been born in the United States. So
he might be playing defensive end if he was born in the United States. I mean, or edge rusher or something like that. No, I was seated close to the field on Friday night, and he didn't play, but he came out in the on deck circle right near the end, and it's like, man, that is a huge human being, no question. You mentioned home runs. I think we need to bring up Eric Hosmer. 14 for 27 last week, but 13 singles and a double. Is there a mm-hmm. point where we start to worry? And I know he's had a lot of doubles this year. But has he spoken at all, or have you talked to him at all about sort of the lack of power at this point? Or is that just kind of the hitter he is, where he might come along and keep hitting line drives and in a week, 3 or 4 of them might go over the fence?
Well, and especially having not seen him before this year on any sort of regular basis, and only really seeing the final stats, right? When he tells me that, this is the kind of hitter he is, so I go back and I look. And I think right now it's like 70 at-bats since his last home run.
Mm-hmm.
He does that all the time. He did it all the time over the last 2 seasons, both of which he finished with 25 homers. It's crazy. Like go anywhere from 55 to 75 at bats without a home run.
Right, right.
So I can't break it down for you why this happens mechanically, but if you also look at his, even just his production or getting on base, it's obviously not that streaky, but there are times where Eric Hosmer goes 0 for 13. Just yeah. looks like just swinging from the heels has, I don't want to say no clue, but like just to make my point, looks like he's got no clue up there. Comes up against the next pitcher at the same time or the next two at-bats that just made him look, you know, again, for lack of a better word, foolish, and goes the other way for a double and you know, beats the shift for a single. I mean, the guy's a really good hitter. He learns from his at-bats, I guess.
Right, right. No, it's just interesting. And the other thing, and it was weird last week, he didn't, you know, he played, what, they play 7 games, he had 27 at-bats, so obviously he wasn't walking much. So teams were pitching to him, and he was making them pay, at least with, you know, singles and getting on base and setting things up. And, you know, Villanueva, did you hear anything more about Villanueva after the game yesterday in terms of how long he might be out after smashing a couple balls off the same area of his lower leg?
Yeah, it's a bruised left ankle, and he's not going to play tonight. That it happens, you know, so quickly in succession, 4 days. That's rough. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a few more days than that. But Villanueva will not be playing tonight as we tape this on Monday afternoon.
Okay, and then you have we have a home series, and then you go off on the journey of journeys.
Miami, St. Louis, back down to Atlanta, home for 2 days. San Francisco, Texas, home for 3 days. Oakland, Arizona. These guys are gearing up now. I don't know exactly what it is, but they are actually better on the road this year. You never know. I covered teams in the past that had trips like this, and or, you know, a month like this, and it was doomsday, and you know, they ended up going 20-10. To be quite honest, they don't like to talk about it. It doesn't sound very good for those they leave behind, but sometimes it's just easier to play on the road.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I just wonder if it's easier after doing it for weeks on end, it seems like. But it is a little quirk in the schedule, but they have played, I think, what, 11 more home games right now than road games, so they do have some catching up to do on the road department. And it will be interesting to see how they fare in these ballparks against some, you know, some decent teams.
Sure. After you get the Marlins,
as well as the Marlins.
Yeah. So after you get them again, you're right back at it with St. Louis and Atlanta again, four in Atlanta. So, all right, Padres, Braves for three tonight. It will be Clayton Richard. It will be Jordan Lyles, and then the bullpen game that I'm anticipating is going to be started like by Matt Strom, and then move on as it did that one Sunday in Los Angeles. So that's what we're looking at this week.
And we also will have live draft coverage tonight from Jeff Sanders on the website. So we will keep people up to date as quick as possible with the Padres picks over the next couple of days. And we can talk about that and your road trip when we get together again later in the week.
Friday before the Marlins series. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Keep on the lookout for new episodes of America's Finest Fantasy Football with the UT's resident draft expert, Eddie Brown, and producer, John Kelly. Season 2 starts when NFL fever hits. And for other great shows, make sure you check out the sandiegouniontribune.com/podcasts. I'm producer, Lara Hockley. Thanks for listening.
From the UT Podcast Network, this is The Conversation.
Hi, I'm Abby.
And I'm Luis. And this is The Conversation, a new podcast where we bring you the news that will get you talking every weekday.
Good conversation, news you can use, and zero Anchorman references.
We'll see about that, actually.
We'll keep it fun and interesting and hope you'll join us in conversation via social media, online comments, and emails. We want to hear from you during this podcast, too.
Okay, here's a little bit about what we'll be getting into.
We've got Trump.
We've got California.
We've got San Diego.
You name it.
Sometimes we'll keep it entertaining, and other times we'll be digging deep into elections, political news.
We even talk about the fun, interesting news stories that you don't always get to read at the top of your news.
Yeah, like UFOs, invasive rodents, and Ooh. Creepy college mascots.
Yikes. Check us out on SoundCloud, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on sandiegouniontribune.com/podcast.
Hey, and if you have Twitter, you can talk to us on Twitter at SDUT Ideas.
Join us every weekday for The Conversation.
Thanks for listening.